Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Government Contract Set-Asides and Statutory Construction Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On February 22, 2016, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Kingdomware Technologies v. United States. Kingdomware Technologies is a certified, service-disabled veteran-owned small business, or SDVOSB, a special type of veteran-owned small business, or VOSB. In 2012, Kingdomware filed a bid protest with the Government Accountability Office when the Department of Veteran Affairs awarded a contract to a federal supply schedule contractor who was not a VOSB. Kingdomware argued that the award violated 38 U.S.C. 8127D's Rule of Two. That provision directs that VA contracting officers, except under certain circumstances, shall award contracts on the basis of competition restricted to small business concerns owned and controlled by veterans if the contracting officer has a reasonable expectation that two or more small business concerns owned and controlled by veterans will submit offers and that the award may be made at a fair and reasonable price that offers best value to the United States. Although the GAO agreed with Kingdomware and recommended a rebid, the VA declined to follow the GAO recommendation, and Kingdomware sued the VA in the Court of Federal Claims. That court ruled in favor of the VA, and Kingdomware appealed to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. A divided panel of the Federal Circuit affirmed the judgment of the Court of Claims, concluding that Kingdomware's interpretation of shall award failed to account for qualifying provisions elsewhere in the statute. The question before the Supreme Court is whether the Federal Circuit erred by adopting a construction of 8127D's mandatory set-aside for VOSBs that arguably rendered the Rule of Two discretionary at the option of the VA. To discuss the case, we have Michael Toth, who is a lawyer in Washington, D.C. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Toth.
The case concerns the meaning of a 2006 law requiring the Veterans Administration to award contracts to veteran-owned small businesses whenever the agency reasonably expects that there are two or more such businesses that can deliver goods and services that represent the best value and can be provided at a fair and reasonable price. This requirement that the government consider whether there are two businesses of a certain kind that can deliver the best value at a reasonable price is commonly called the Rule of Two. In this case, Kingdomware Technologies, the plaintiff, argues that the 2006 law makes the application of the Rule of Two mandatory every time that the VA acquires goods or services. In other words, under Kingdomware's reading of the statute, every time that the VA seeks to acquire supplies or services, the agency must first consider whether or not there are two veteran-owned businesses that can deliver the supplies or services. If these veteran-owned businesses can deliver the best value at a reasonable price, then the VA must choose between them. In other words, the competition for the procurement of these supplies or services is restricted to the veteran-owned businesses and no other businesses. The government in this case concedes that the Rule of Two is mandatory in some VA acquisitions. In other words, in some VA acquisitions, there must be restricted competition under the statute. The government, however, also argues that the law does not apply across the board to the thousands of contracts that the VA forms each year. In the remainder of the podcast, I will review the facts of the case, the lower court opinions, the parties' arguments at the Supreme Court, and the reactions of the justices. First, the facts of the case. In early 2012, the VA decided to procure an emergency notification service, or ENS, for several VA medical centers and associated outpatient clinics. As the name implies, an ENS delivers messages with critical information in emergency situations, such as natural disasters. Ultimately, the VA decided to pay approximately $34,000 to obtain the ENS for 1 year, with the option to extend for two more years. The business that won the contract was not a veteran-owned small business. Kingdomware, a small business owned by a service-disabled veteran, then protested at the General Accountability Office, contending that the VA failed to apply the Rule of Two, contrary to the 2006 law, before contracting for the ENS. The GAO sustained the protest, but the VA declined to follow the recommendation. Kingdomware then sued the agency in the Federal Court of Claims. The court sided with the VA, and Kingdomware appealed to the Federal Circuit, which also sided with the agency. In siding with the VA, the Federal Circuit relied on the prefatory language in the 2006 law. In addition to the rule of two, the 2006 law required the VA to set an annual goal for the percentage of contracts that it would award to veteran-owned small businesses. The annual goal had to be at least 3% of the VA's total spending on contracts. The portion of the 2006 law that made the rule of two effective referred back to the mandatory annual goals. In full, the statute reads, for the purposes of meeting the goals set in subsection A, here referring to the mandatory annual goals, the agency shall apply the rule of two formulation. That is, it must consider whether there are two veteran-owned small businesses that can provide the best value at a reasonable price. And if there are two such businesses, then it shall award the contract to one of them. In the view of the Federal Circuit, the prefatory language linking the rule of two to the mandatory goals clouded the otherwise clear meaning of the shall award language in the statute. Under the court's view, the VA had the discretion under the law to limit the application of the rule of two to those contracts that the VA had decided were necessary for the purpose of meeting the goals under subsection A, or the annual goals of awarding a certain percentage of the VA's contracts to veteran-owned small businesses. Applying the court's logic, if the VA had a goal of awarding, say, 15% contracts to veteran-owned small businesses, then the agency would be obliged to apply the rule of two only for those contracts that meet the 15% goal. The remaining 85% of contracts could be awarded through open competition or without resorting to the rule of two. In dissent, Judge Rania disagreed with the majority's use of the prefatory language. Rania, appointed by President Obama to the Federal Circuit in 2011, relied on Justice Scalia's opinion in the famous case of Heller. Heller, of course, concerned the Second Amendment, which has a prefatory clause and an operative clause. The text of the Second Amendment reads, "A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." In his majority opinion in Heller, Justice Scalia cited to a law review article by Eugene Volokh, in which Professor Volokh noted that in many legal documents of the founding era, there was commonly a prefatory statement of purpose. Prefatory statements of purpose, however, were not understood to limit the scope of the operative clause. Justice Scalia cited further multiple legal treaties. "It is nothing unusual in acts," he noted, quoting one of them, "for the enacting part of the statute to go beyond the preamble. The remedy often extends beyond the particular act of mischief which first suggested the necessity of the law." Justice Scalia noted that there must be a logical connection between the prefatory clause and the operative clause, and as there often, or in most cases, or perhaps all cases, is a necessary connection between the prefatory clause and the operative clause, the prefatory clause can be used to resolve an ambiguity. Justice Scalia gave this example. "The separation of church and state being an important objective, the teaching of canons shall have no place in jurisprudence." Here, the term canons refers, of course, not to canons of interpretation, but to clergymen. That ambiguity is resolved by the prefatory language in the preamble. Using Justice Scalia's logic from Heller, Judge Rania noted that in this case, the prefatory language referring to goals should not be used to limit the operative language in the statute, requiring the use of the rule of two in all cases in which the Veterans Administration shall award a contract. Members of the Federalist Society and those who have followed the work of the Federalist Society will note that it is very crucial to Justice Scalia's jurisprudence that laws must be read objectively, according to the traditional canons of interpretation, and not according to policy preferences, which are highly subjective. In this case, whether one favors as a policy matter an expansive or limited application of the rule of two seems to depend largely on the perspective one takes. From the perspective of a veteran who owns a business, of course, an expansive use of the rule of two would seem to be policy-wise the best approach. Perhaps, though, from a perspective of a veteran who seeks the best medical care from the VA, a less expansive application of the rule of two, one that would allow freer competition, may be the best policy-wise approach. From the perspective of other small businesses seeking to do business with the VA, of course, a less expansive application of the rule of two may extend their interest. From the perspective of VA administrators who seek to award contracts in their view in the most efficient manner, again, a less expansive application of the rule of two may be the best approach. From the perspective of the average voter, the application may depend on when the rule of is applied. Near in time to a war, shortly after a war has ended, when there's many veterans who are seeking work, we may, as voters, see a good policy sense in applying the rule broadly. Further in time, when there are fewer veterans and maybe other interest groups that seem to be more in need of government contracts, we may favor a less broad application of the rule of two for policy reasons. None of this is to say that there's not an objective common good, only that from the perspective of Justice Scalia, the correct constitutional procedure for arriving at the common good is through legislative deliberation. And here, the rule of canons of interpretation allow the court to have an objective way to read the law so that its policy preferences are not substituted for the clear meaning of the statute. Interestingly, when the government argued the case before the United States Supreme Court, it gave up on the argument that had prevailed at the Federal Circuit, namely that the prefatory language is limited to the scope of the rule of two, and advanced a new theory. The government's decision to change course at this stage surprised some members of the Supreme Court. Justice Ginsburg interrupted the government's counsel in his first sentence of his argument and asked, "Would you preliminarily explain why the government walked away from what was a winning position in the Federal Circuit? I mean, it's really odd. I read the Federal Circuit decision, and I expected you to open the government brief and say, yeah, the Federal Circuit was right. You're telling us that the Federal Circuit was wrong." The government's argument at the Supreme Court is that the language "shall award" in the statute refers only to new contracts and not to orders under pre-existing contracts. As the government explains, federal agencies acquire supplies and services in a number of ways. One of these ways is through traditional competition. Vendors submit bids under seal, which the government then reviews. But that is not the only way that the government obtains supplies and services. There's also a simplified acquisition process using the Federal Supply Schedule, or the FSS. Under the FSS, vendors agree with the government to provide goods and services at a certain price. The government determines that the price is not greater than the price that the vendor charges its most favored customer. Once the government and the vendors agree, agencies can then purchase supplies and services from the FSS, from FSS vendors using the schedule. According to the government, the language in the 2006 law referring to, quote, awarding contracts does not refer to acquisitions made under the FSS. Critically, the acquisition at issue in Kingdomware was made under the FSS, and about 60% of VA sales, from the perspective of the number of transactions, are made this way. The government advanced two arguments in support of this theory. First, that the plain meaning of contract in the 2006 statute does not apply to purchase orders off of supply schedules. And two, that taking into account the overall regulatory framework, it is clear that FSS orders should be accepted in this case. The court appeared not to be convinced of the first argument. Contrary to the government's view, Justice Breyer, for example, at oral argument, characterized purchase orders as contracts. And the government conceded that purchase orders do give rise to contractual obligations in its brief. The case then appears to turn on the government's second argument. Here, the government contends that across federal acquisition, the rule of two has never been understood to apply to the FSS. Kingdomware's response was to differentiate the statute issue here, which requires mandatory application of the rule of two, from the permissive provisions that exist elsewhere. The government does point out, however, to a couple of examples where what it sees as mandatory rules of two were understood not to apply to FSS purchases. Kingdomware, for its part, disputes that these rules are actually mandatory and argues that the government's view of the background rules related to the rule of two is not accurate. The court will have to settle this important question of statutory interpretation affecting thousands of contracts and perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars later this term.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.